Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verse 1. Paul says there in Ephesians 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. I want to speak to you today about a walk worthy of our calling in the Lord Jesus Christ. This worthy walk is not to be had by typical means, the way man typically would think about a walk that is worthy of the religion that he professes. Rather, a worthy walk in the Lord is to be had for Christ, by Christ. A walk worthy is by the Lord Jesus Christ. Only in the Lord Jesus Christ will we hear the exhortation by the Spirit, in the Spirit. It's a spiritual word to the people of God. The Lord is the one who called us. He's the one who sought us out and called us to Himself. He continually draws His people to Himself. So if the Lord is the one who initiated this salvation for His people, it follows that it's the Lord who continues this work in His people. It's a spiritual walk. A walk worthy is a spiritual walk given to us by the Spirit in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in our Lord that we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I've titled this message, A Walk Worthy. And first, we'll look at the calling that we have of the Lord. And we'll see that this walk is not of the flesh. It's not according to our former ways before we knew the Lord, but rather our walk is spiritual. It's of the Lord. We'll see that it's a spiritual walk by the Spirit. So first, we have a calling. We have a calling of God. It's a spiritual calling in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read verse 1 again. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. That word vocation means calling. It means calling. It's always translated as calling in the Scripture, except for this one text. Now, Paul isn't speaking about our job occupation. Typically, when you hear the word vocation, people are speaking about, what do you do for a living? You may have heard of vocational school, where some people send their children to learn skills like welding, hairdressing, working on engines, plumbing. Usually you go to vocational school to learn the beginning of those jobs, and then you go out from school and you get a job in that field. But this vocation that Paul is speaking of is of the Lord. It's a spiritual call. It's a calling of God unto the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has sent to save His people from their sins. It's a calling in faith. So I don't mean that outward call. There is an outward call in which many hear the gospel. Some people are invited to church services where the gospel is preached, and they'll sit and they'll hear the gospel being preached, and they hear of what they are in the flesh and of the coming judgment of God against the sins of this flesh and the provision that God has made for His people in Christ. But they don't believe. They dismiss it. They think little of what they're hearing, and they just ignore it. They just think it's just a good thing. It's just a little religion. something that we hear, but it's to be laid aside after we leave that building. For many, it's a light thing, a little thing, because many are called. Many hear the gospel, but few are chosen. Few hear it in the Spirit, by the Spirit. This calling here is an inward, effectual call by the Spirit. It's spoken into the hearts of God's people. He speaks it into the heart of His people. He gives life and faith to hear it and to believe the word that they're hearing concerning Christ, concerning salvation that God has provided. Our Lord said over in John 3, verse 5, that except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He must be sanctified, set apart by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God gives that one life so that they hear what the Lord is saying. They hear their need of Jesus Christ and see Him to be all the sufficiency that they need to stand before God faultless before Him. It's a calling unto Christ for all of my salvation, all of our salvation. It's complete in Him. We believe Him who has made unto us a new and a living way. A living way. It's no longer a dead form of religion, dead works, works of this flesh, trying to be good, trying to be better, trying to stop this and start that. That's all gone and removed in Christ. He is the way. He is the living way whereby we hear His voice. We're given life by Him and look to Him in faith, believing, Lord, I believe You. You are the Savior. There is no salvation apart from You. And Lord, I need Your salvation. Cover me in Your blood, Lord. Apply Your blood to me and deliver me from my sins and iniquities. So by His grace and power, the Lord Himself gives spiritual life to His people. He describes it as being given a new heart. And He says it is being given His Spirit. We're given a new heart because our old heart of flesh is wicked. It's defiled. It's unbelieving. It cannot please God. So we're given a new heart that believes Him. And He says that He gives us His Spirit because before that, we have no spirit. We're spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. Look at Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, and we'll pick up in verse 25. So after Psalms, you'll have Isaiah, Jeremiah, a little tiny book called Lamentations, and then Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the three biggest prophets and largest books in the Bible of the prophets. Ezekiel 36, 25. The Lord says to His people, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. You shall be sanctified and set apart by the Lord for the Lord's use. And you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from your idols will I cleanse you. Those foolish ways that we sought after God in darkness by our flesh, He removes all of that from His people. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. So our Lord is describing a new creature, a new creation. He's calling us to Christ. We didn't know Him before, but now we do. We know Him by His Spirit with a new heart, believing all that He says to us that He's accomplished for us in Christ. We are a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're called to serve Him. We're called to know Him. We're called to confess Him, speak of Him before men and women, and we're called to feed upon him for all our salvation. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So it's not a calling which is of this flesh. It's not something that we hear and just turn things around for the Lord. Our Lord doesn't receive the things of this flesh. He's not looking for strength of our flesh, strength of our grip, strength of our will and resolve to turn things around and to do better for the Lord. He's declaring to us we cannot save ourselves. It's a calling in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an effectual calling by our Lord. He says, turn over to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 18. Ephesians 1, 18, down to verse 20, says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, he gives light to a spiritual light, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe." And how do we believe him? "According to the working of his mighty power." Not my mighty power, not your mighty power. We don't have mighty power with God. He gives us Christ. He reveals Christ to us, and it's all by his power which he wrought in Christ. Not in us apart from Christ, but in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So our calling of God in Christ is the hope that he gives to us of eternal life in Christ, just as the Lord himself said, that in him is life, and all who look to him and believe him have eternal life. So that it's a spiritual calling. It's a spiritual calling of our Lord. Next, let's read verse 1 again, Ephesians 4, verse 1. Paul says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." The walk of the believer is different than it was before Christ. Our walk is different than it was previously, before our Lord gave us spiritual life. There in Ephesians, look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. There our Lord says, "And you hath he quickened. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Understand that we had no spiritual life until the Lord gave us spiritual life. He had to quicken us. We were dead in trespasses and sins, unable to do that which is pleasing to the Lord. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, had to come, being sent of God to this world, to die our death, the death that we earned by the sins we committed, that which we practiced in ourselves. Our Lord had to die to put away the enmity that is in us by nature in Adam, that fights against God and resists God and denies the truth of God, believing ourselves, counting ourselves more worthy and more trustworthy than the Lord. He's got to deliver us from that enmity and put it away. Christ had to die to reconcile us to the Father, to take away the enmity and to establish us in our Lord in peace, in his grace, mercy, and kindness. Christ had to die so that we're no longer servants, laboring in fear under the wrath of God, laboring, worrying that somehow we're going to mess this thing up, because left to ourselves, we would. We're not even in it to mess it up, honestly. We're nothing. We're outside of the Lord. But no longer are we servants laboring in fear, but now in Christ we are brethren. We are friends, like Abraham was the friend of God. We are children in the beloved family of God. You hath he quickened, meaning that apart from Christ, we weren't alive. We had no spiritual life. We weren't quickened. We had to be given life. And that life is given by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We may have been a spiritual people. Many people act and pretend to be spiritual, right? They light candles or go around with incense or carry crystals or do all kinds of things to invoke some good vibe or something like that. It's all dead works. We have nothing with our God except he give it to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. While we were spiritually dead, our walk was described there in Ephesians 2, verse 2 and 3. We walked according to the course of this world. It's not the living way. It's a way, but it's a way of darkness. It's a way that goes unto eternal death. We walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our walk, in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were in darkness to the things of God. We walked according to our nature, according to our flesh, and what we thought was right, and what pleased God, what kept us in a good standing with God. It was all darkness. We were groping about in spiritual darkness, feeling after, trying this, trying that, seeing if this worked, seeing if that worked, and thankfully none of it did. None of it worked, because God had some better thing for us in grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody doesn't know how foolish and ignorant they are. Everybody doesn't realize that their works do not please the Lord. But you that see that it's not me, it's not my works, it's not my goodness, it's not my looking to the law, it's not my coming even to church and reading my Bible and saying prayers and being nice to people. That's not our salvation. Our salvation is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that's who the Father brings us to behold in him all the glory of God, everything that God is pleased with, and it's all fulfilled for his people in that one, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he's bringing us to. That's who he's brought us to. That's in whom we have life and standing with our God. So we weren't children of light, but he gave us light. He enlightened these eyes, these spiritual eyes to see, oh Lord, you've provided everything in your Son. Thank you, Lord, for destroying my works, for breaking me and bringing me low in self, and showing me my sin and my wickedness and how undone I am in this flesh and how perfect your salvation is in your Son. So, being called to walk worthy, is it going to be a walk in this flesh? Is this flesh ever going to do a worthy walk in the Lord? Are we going to turn things around and get this flesh improved and do better for the Lord? Never. This flesh is full of disappointment. This flesh is weak and foolish and always sinning. Always sinning. Except for the grace of God, we can't do anything to please him. So nothing we do would be a walk worthy of this vocation wherewith we are called. Paul actually said, shun those things. Turn away from the things that you did formerly. Look there at chapter 4, verse 17. Chapter 4, 17 through 19, Ephesians 4, 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. When we try to please God by improving ourselves, by doing less of this sin and more of that which we thought was good, it's vanity. he says, we're going to learn to lean on Christ, to cry out to him, ask him for forgiveness and mercy, and beg him to keep us. We're going to lean on the Lord. Because before we had our understanding, verse 18, darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. That's how we were. That's how we were. And because the Lord left us in that for a time, that we might see what we are and how undone we are, that's where man just goes and practices his wicked, vile sins and his iniquities, as if it doesn't matter. It's in that foolishness and darkness, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Our Lord delivers us from that. But it's in Christ. It's looking to him and finding all our help, all our forgiveness, all our comfort and assurance in Christ. All right, then. So what is our walk to be? We're going to have a walk in Christ. Now that life has come, what does a worthy walk look like? What is a worthy walk? Well, understand that our walk is in the vocation, the calling of God, which is in grace. It's in grace. It's all of his Son in grace, and it's common. What I'm about to say is common to every child of God. Every child of God. I'm going to give you six things that describe a worthy walk, a walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. First, if we are born of the Spirit, and all of God's children are, they're all effectually called by the Spirit, then our walk must be by the Spirit. A worthy walk is a spiritual walk. It's not a fleshly thing. Therefore, it's never going to be accomplished by the flesh. Never going to be accomplished by the flesh. Turn over to Romans 8. Romans 8, 13. Our Lord delivers us from trusting this flesh. Our Lord delivers us from having confidence in this flesh. This flesh is deceitful. It's vile. It can put on a pretty show. It can make itself smell good, but it's vile. It's deceitful. He says in Romans 8:13, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die." You shall die spiritually. You shall remain in that spiritual death. That's our former conversation, trusting the strength of this flesh. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, which means to put to death, if you by the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. It's the Spirit that mortifies the deeds of this flesh. It's the Spirit that teaches us, that turns our eyes away from this flesh, having any confidence in this flesh at all, even in things that seem good. We don't have confidence in this flesh. The Spirit turns us from this flesh to look to Christ and believe him, to stay upon him and trust that he's all my righteousness. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if we are born of the Spirit, it's going to be a spiritual walk. It's going to be a constant, continual life by the Spirit, in the Spirit, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, our walk is as children of light, meaning we're not walking in darkness and in ignorance to the things of God anymore. We know the will of God. The will of God is revealed to us. It's to look to Christ, to believe him. That is the will of God for his people. Not to do X, Y, and Z, not to do A, B, and C better. The will of the Father is to look to Christ, to behold him and believe him. He said in John 6:40, "This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son," and we see him by faith, "everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life." Our Father sent his Son into the world to gather together his scattered people into his fold. He's our shepherd. We are the sheep. we follow him. His will is to bring us to Christ and to look to him by faith. And children of God, children of light, are thankful. They're thankful because God showed them everything I was doing was trying to please God by the works I did. Even in my religion, it was to please God by something I did rather than being content and satisfied, looking only to Jesus Christ, because that's who my Father is satisfied with. He's satisfied with the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he gives us to look to him and to make us thankful in the Lord. He says in Colossians 1, 12 and 13, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So the children of God are children of light, not walking about and knocking about in various things of religion to improve themselves, picking up books to be more disciplined and to do better next time. It's looking to Christ, believing him. When we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, the righteousness of God, given for his people, the salvation of his people. And we're made thankful to God for it, crying out to him. Third, to walk worthy is to stand in the liberty of Christ. We stand in that liberty. We're not turning back again to the law. We're not turning back to the law to make improvements, to tweak things and get them a little better because Christ didn't do them sufficiently for us. We're not turning to the law. We're children of liberty. We have liberty in Christ. Now, he says, the Lord is that Spirit. This is 2 Corinthians 3:17. The Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty. Don't look back to the law, brethren. The law is not going to improve your standing before the Lord. If you see holes and gaps and insufficiency and weakness in you, you're not going to find strength in the law. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why God has provided him. He sent him because he is the salvation of his people. Fourth, it's to walk by faith. Believe him. He's given you his promise that you that look to the Lord Jesus Christ are saved. You have eternal life. That one who's looking back to the law to improve himself, to get better at things, his spirit's lifted up in him. He's in pride. He's in arrogance. He's as a Pharisee. Habakkuk 2:4 says, behold, his soul is lifted up. His soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The faith which the Father works in every child of his, looking to Christ. That soul that can look to the law for righteousness is yet in ignorance, yet in darkness, not hearing what the Lord is saying concerning his Son, concerning who we are. He's not giving any glory to this flesh. All glory is to the Son. Either Christ is all my righteousness, or I've got to seek out a righteousness myself by the law, trying to make myself righteous. And that one that does it shall perish in their sins, except God give them repentance and turn them from those dead works and turn them to the living way. The living way. A walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called is a walk by faith, believing Christ. Fifth, it's a walk believing the promises of God to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this flesh is never going to be rid of sin. This flesh, we still see it. We see things in ourselves that grieve us, that trouble us, that worry us about ourselves. The unbelief and the foolish things we do and say and just what we are. This flesh is going to be a disappointment. We're going to see how weak we are. We're going to come into chastening. We're going to be brought low at times in ourselves so that we don't get lifted up with pride and arrogance and think more highly of ourselves than we ought and begin to judge our brethren and to think ourselves better than they are. We're going to walk according to the promises of God which are given to us in Christ, that even though in me I see sin, if I am still able by his grace to look to Christ, to confess my sin, to ask for forgiveness, and to lean upon him for all my help and all my salvation, I'm going to praise God for that. That's believing the promises of God who turns us and keeps us from trusting the flesh. Galatians 3:22, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe, so that we're saved by the faith of our Savior, not our faith. Our faith is given to us of God to look to him, but it's his faithfulness, it's his faithful work that saves me, it's his blood that saves me. Sixth, it's a walk that perseveres unto the end. The walk of the child of God, that one who is called of the Lord, that walk worthy perseveres unto the end. The child of God shall never depart from his Lord and Savior. Not because we're strong, not because we figured it out, not because we're so disciplined, not because I'm good and worthy of salvation. He's worthy. He's our salvation. We'll never depart, we'll never be able to depart, because it's our God that keeps us. It's our God that humbles us. It's our God that teaches us. It's our God that leads us, ever looking to Christ. Jeremiah 32:40, he says, I will make an everlasting covenant with them. It'll never end, never end. That I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. We're never going to be able to deliver ourselves out of that covenant, and we never want to. We don't want to, because we're made willing in the day of his power. So this, brethren, is a walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. It's a spiritual walk. It's a spiritual walk. It's a walk of faith. It's a walk believing the promises. It's a walk being turned away from the law. It's a walk of liberty in Christ. And it's a persevering walk. We continue to the end. And those that walk in Christ and look to him and believe him, those good works that men try to push first in religion, they'll follow. The Lord does teach his people. He does bless them and comfort them. He does make them low in themselves, as it says in verses 2 and 3. We will be low in ourselves. We will be delivered from judging our brethren. We'll be seeking their good and the unity of the Spirit and the peace of our God. Those good works follow. There is love and forbearance with one another in the Lord Jesus Christ. They shall follow. But it's a spiritual walk. It's a spiritual work in us by the Lord himself. So we seek to encourage one another in the Lord, to encourage that faith which he's given to us, to edify one another in his Son. And I pray the Lord bless that word to you, to ever keep looking to him, believing the promises of God to us in Christ. You that believe Christ have eternal life. Believe him. Believe. Amen.